time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Brr. It is cold on Friday. It hit a low of about a deuce at my house, and that's colder than I like it. But we might get a little ice. We might be able to do some ice fishing. But I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking in your world, brother?
Yeah, it was cold out in Lowell, too. It was nothing.
Yeah, a balmy knot.
It was nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, but a little bit better today, and we're going to be back in above freezing in the coming week. So it was just a little blast, but ooh. Man, that was cold, really cold. But anyway, speaking of cold, we're going to talk a little bit about grilling in the cold because I think there's some technique out there and a whole lot of patience that has to happen in order to make sure. Now, many of you probably don't grill in this kind of weather, and we'll clip the corner of your man card if you don't, because grilling is a year-round sport. And got to eat every day. So let's talk a little bit about that, Bob. What are your thoughts with regard to the wind?
Well, my thoughts are Friday night we had some friends over and I did grilling and deep frying outside.
Okay.
And you know, you just have to dress appropriately. I used my infrared because I just love having it, and I need to use it sometime. I tend to use my Cajun and my other charcoal stuff a lot. And
infrared is gas, right?
Yep. So yep. I thought, well, it does a perfect steak and burger. We did a burger bar, and it was wonderful. I made some homemade, I bought these giant Idaho potatoes, and I made homemade fries, and bought some sweet potatoes, made homemade sweet potato fries, and I think in the bunker segment four or five, I'm going to go through that process a little bit. But, you know, I still have that timber ridge, excuse me, and the crud. Still have the timber ridge, of course, on my patio.
Which is a deep fryer.
Yeah.
Right?
And it's so cool to go out and hit the gas, hit the fire, and boom. It usually explodes once. That's the boom.
Right, right. But that, you know, so there's the difference. You've had that a long while, and I don't even know if they make them anymore. But,
no.
But it's a propane-driven deep fryer that sits on your deck,
yep.
And it's got, does it have one or two wells?
Well, mine's just the single.
Okay.
Yep. Which is plenty for us.
Right. It's plenty for anybody. And it's a deep fryer. There's no magic to it other than the fact that this time of year when it's this cold, that oil that you put in there takes a lot longer to warm up.
Well, the oil's been in it.
Okay.
So you don't take it out. It's got a filter.
Right.
So you can drain it and filter it from time to time because it gets really expensive. It holds a lot of oil.
Okay.
And it gets really expensive.
So then the oil was in it, so it was probably gelatinous.
It was frozen.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So you heat that thing up, and you can't just turn the torch on and as high as it goes. You got to let it kind of come up to temperature a little bit, right?
No, I turned it up as high as it could go and waited a half hour, and I got up to 350.
Okay.
And that's my number.
It doesn't like scorch the oil on the bottom while the top is still frozen?
Okay. Thermodynamics in place.
Okay. So the heat transfers through the oil.
Yep.
All right. So
heat rises, so that brings the cold down. So it tends to want to create its own little thermocycling inside.
Okay.
And that oil is pretty resilient. I use peanut oil, even though I don't have to. It's pretty resilient.
Right. So you heat that back up, and then you're obviously deep frying in it. But the point there is it was frozen, and it took a while. Impacts your planning, impacts the time you eat.
And that's the key. Just like you're going to get some boots on, you're going to get a coat ready, you're going to get a glove ready, you're going to get all that stuff going early.
Right.
Now, that infrared grill fires up, and that's ready to cook on in 10 minutes. I don't care what the temperature is because it's infrared.
Right. But I will tell you that I have a smaller unit than yours,
mm-hmm.
And
that's what she said.
Though I understand it's been that way for a long time. But I have a smaller infrared grill, same company, Tech.
Yep.
Bob used to rep that company, and I'm a benefactor of leftovers. But it works wonderfully. But my point is that the wind will impact that. Okay. There's a venting in the back of mine.
Right.
That if the wind's blowing
in
there.
Your in particular has a bit of a weakness
right.
that way.
So I need to shelter the wind. And when I built my outdoor kitchen where that infrared grill sits, I purposefully put it up against, there's a privacy fence.
Right.
Right? And my grilling station is up against, there's a foot and a half between the back of my grill
it
and the fence.
It keeps the wind from blowing in
right.
and blowing out the pilot.
Right.
And once you lose your pilot, the valve goes into safety. Everything locks down. You go outside, and the raccoons are on your food because it's cool enough.
Yeah, right. But or if you're, yeah, right. But anyway, so the thing is that when you're grilling in this weather, for you and for your equipment, you need a wind block. And whatever that is, if you've got a little pop-up tent where you can throw a side on it, makes a huge difference in the amount of time it takes to cook.
And you can buy those online, the three-sided,
right?
Whatever, you got a 10x10 pop-up. They sell, and it's usually 8 feet tall. They sell like
a piece of tarp, basically.
It is, yeah. That hooks onto all three of the legs, four of the legs.
Right.
The front stays open, or whatever side you want to be open to block the wind.
Right. Yep.
And we've used those plenty of times. I have one.
Makes a huge difference.
Yeah, I have one left from that big pop up of mine that got destroyed. I kept the turnaround.
Right.
Yep. That's all of us left.
To get it there. But. You're gonna spend more time preparing, and if you're smoking in this environment, plan on a lot of extra time because this cold. We have a big metal iron smoker, and it takes probably 30% more fuel to keep that thing hot while you're smoking, just because Mother Nature's zapping it with cold.
And that's right back to what we've preached for years in terms of building yourself an area, and whether it's a fence or whether it's like I've got where you've got two walls behind you and a roof over you, or whether it's a pop-up that you put these three sides around like we're talking about, you have to take care of that. Otherwise, you're wasting fuel and time.
Right.
And you're freezing your mutts off.
And I would say the real difference there is that the quality of your food. You're used to using your equipment in a non-frozen environment, and you know how long it takes to perform. All bets are off on timing when you're in this kind of weather.
Yeah, guys like Steve Reichlin, you know, out at his casa in Arizona with all his beautiful grills.
Right.
In January, grilling on a Kalamazoo grill at 75 degrees at 8 o'clock at night. You know, we hate you.
Right. Yeah. That's mid-July for us. That's our grilling time for that kind of a setup. But
We're lucky.
Yeah. Anyway. So the Super Bowl is coming up next week. Now, a week from tomorrow. And there's a lot of things that people do for the Super Bowl with regard to preparing food. It's one of those eating events. As much as it is a sporting event, in my mind, in the next segment, we're gonna reach out to a barbecue guy that is somewhat of a legend here.
Who helps us eat?
Yes, he helps us eat. He'll help you eat, and he's somewhat of a legend here in West Michigan. He's been on the Food Network, and he's won all kinds of awards and stuff. It's a guy named Matt Smith from Pit Stop Barbecue. We're gonna have him on because he has an entire menu developed for takeout from his shop for the Super Bowl, and there's just super cool things on it that he doesn't make every day that he makes for the Super Bowl.
And the point isn't us trying to drive you to go buy from him, because most of you can't. The point is pay attention to what he's making and talking about, because it might stimulate a few of those nerve endings.
That's right, and you get some ideas because – while his stuff is unique, it's not anything you couldn't make.
Right.
You know, that thing called the internet has a tremendous amount of information about recipes. And if you have something that he makes that you like to hear, you certainly can. If you're in West Michigan, you can buy them from him. But you'll hear him say it's going to be a pre-order thing. So you listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. the Jethro Worldwide Network. Stick with us. We'll be back.